Now, today I've got these two tea bags here. I was hoping Auntie Margaret would give me different, but just assume that they are the same. All right? But there are two tea bags here. I don't know what sort of tea they actually produce. I don't know. There is no name to say this is this, this is that. In order for me to know what is inside them, what do I need to do? And that water has to be what? Has to be hot. And that's the only way you find out what's inside is when you put them in water. Now, I want you to hold that picture because that's the whole sermon. Over the next 2 weeks, just hold this picture of these two tea bags. For the tea bag to show what's inside them and what they're about, you have to put them through hot water. Amen. Amen. So hold that picture. And that's the picture of Job chapter 1. Over the next 2 weeks, we are going to, I had hoped to do it in 1 week, but I am not going to try and do that. So we're going to do it justice, and we're going to spend 2 weeks looking at the life of Job in Job chapter 1. That's what we are going to do. Just look at chapter 1. And today I want to look at a man who went through it. He went into the hottest of, hottest water imaginable. He went through it. And he lost everything in one afternoon. Just imagine what you have in one afternoon. You lose everything. He lost everything in one afternoon. And what came out of him in the first, in that first unguarded, unrehearsed, unperformed moment is one of the most arresting things in the whole entire Bible, what came out of him. Many of us, when we go through stuff, you know what comes out of us. You know what we do when we are going through stuff. And here, somebody say Job. We are a participating crowd. I always like us to talk together. Amen. So somebody say, tell the person next to you, Job. Yeah, before we go into the story, I want to name some things. There are three kind of people in this room today. Three kind of people right now. And I want you to assess yourself and say, which one of those three are you today? And I want all three of you to know that this message is for you. Whatever level you are, whatever person that you are today, this message is for you. Number one, some of you are in the fire right now. You are in the fire right now, not metaphorically, but actually you're going through it. Me included. You may be going through it. I may be going through it. A real fire that's going. A diagnosis, a relationship that is falling apart, a financial situation, and you're going through stuff that keeps you up at night, all night. You're thinking about it. A silence from God that has gone on longer than the kind of faith that was built, that you were built to handle. So that's the first group of people. Those who are in the fire, you are going through it. And you can't see any way out, and all you see is just flames around you. And that's group number one. And number two, there's this group. Some of you are not in the fire yet. You're not in the fire yet, but you're building a faith that can only survive in good weather. Life is just sailing. You're not in the fire. But however, you're building a kind of faith that only... That will only survive good weather. That's not going to survive when issues, fires start coming. Amen. If things change tomorrow, you are honestly not sure what would be left of you in your trust, your trust in God. You're not sure. You're just literally one fire away, and you'll be questioning God, and you'll be saying, God, where are you? God, you have forgotten me. Where are you, God, and what are you doing, God? And then the third group, and some of you have just come out of fire. Praise God. Amen. Some people have just what? Come out of fire. But this group that has just come out of fire, some of them, sometimes, their trust got burned. They lost something in the fire. They went through it. Their worship went cold. You're still here. Still going through the motions, the motions, but something essential went missing because you went through the fire. You're still standing, you're still here, but something is missing inside of you. Something essential went missing in that season, and you haven't found it again. You haven't found it again. Job chapter 1 is for all three of you. Right? Whatever you are today, wherever you find yourself, Job chapter 1 is for you. And I want to carry, I want us to carry one question through this whole message today. Not three, just one, because one question is better than three forgotten ones. The question is, when the fire comes, what will heaven see in you, in me? When the fire starts burning around me, what does heaven see? What comes out of you when you are going through it? I want you to hold that question, and because, you know, it's amazing, you know, when we go through stuff, what is exposed, what is revealed in us? What does heaven see? Will heaven be encouraged by what they see? Hold that thought. Maybe talk to the person next to you. What do they see in you if fire comes? Just quickly chat with the person next to you. I'm having a commercial break. Anybody ever been in fire? Is there anybody ever been in fire? Now, the Bible is going to tell us something amazing about Job. It's going to tell us something right from the beginning. Before we see his suffering, we see his character. You know, again, before we see what is taken from him, we see the kind of man that he is. The Bible is very careful to show us that. And here's what is extraordinary. God himself is going to testify to this man's integrity. God himself is going to speak about this man. Not his pastor, not his friends, not his community. God himself is going to say, this man is a good man. Tell the person next to you, Job is a good man. Tell them and put two thumbs up. Job is a good man. Amen. He's a good man, and God testifies that. Chapter 1, verse 1, this is what it says. There was a man in the land of Uz. Somebody say Uz. Yeah. Whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. Job was what? A good man. Come on, thumbs up. Job was a good man. He was a good man. And Job was a good man, a good man, a good man. In verse 2 it says, he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, thousands of livestock, sheep, camels, oxen, donkeys, servants, a large estate he had. Verse 3 delivered the verdict plainly. And it says this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. He had, by every visible measure, arrived. He is the man who had arrived. He had everything going. Wouldn't you like that kind of life? He had everything going on for him. He had all the children, 10 children, not one, not two. But he had 10 kids, 7 sons, three daughters that he had. But here's what I do not want you to miss from verse 5. After his sons had their parties, and his kids knew how to party, and they were partying every Friday. Job would get up early in the morning, and offer sacrifices to God for each and every one of them. And this, he would say that in verse 5, he said that, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts while they are partying or clubbing or whatever it is. I want you to think about that. The day after your kids have had a party, you get up early morning and you go and say, Lord, just in case my children have sinned against you, God, I'm bringing this offering to you, God. Just in case, God, one of my children stepped out of line last night, I'm here, God, cover them, God. This is not a religious performance. This is a man whose private life matches his public life. A man who does not need an audience to be faithful to God. He knew that, I don't know whether the children knew that he was doing this, but this is what he was doing. He would go and intercede on behalf of his children. God, my kids are out there. They are drinking. They are up doing whatever. Lord, just in case they messed up there, God. They have said things they shouldn't, or they have done things they shouldn't. God, I'm coming. I'm interceding on behalf of my children. Job was a... Come on. Join me here. Job was a good man. He knew how to respond. Now nobody promised this man that his faith would keep him from the fire. Nobody said, your faith, hey, you know, like what we hear nowadays, come to my church and you're not going to have any problems. Everything will be good. Nobody said this to Job. Nobody promised that to you either. When you are in God, you go through stuff. We all go through stuff. All of us, we go through stuff. And I mean, look at Jesus. You know, they killed him. He had nowhere to sleep. He said, "Fox, I have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He was broke. Jesus was broke. And they killed the man. They killed Jesus. The blessing that matters is not circumstantial. The blessing that matters is a spiritual blessing. What you want from God is not circumstances and things and all of that. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then everything, those other things will be thrown in. Amen. And you're about to see what a spiritually blessed man looks like in Job here, when the fire comes. Now, here's where the story gets wild. The camera pulls all the way back from earth to heaven. We are taken completely back into heaven. And what we see, there's something Job never knew about. Job doesn't know this. Job didn't see the discussion that's going on in heaven. He didn't have that privy to know this. And what we see, there's something Job never knew. He never knew about this. He could not see it, but we can see it. And it changes everything because we can see what's going on in heaven. So the camera, picture this. The camera is actually now right at the throne room of God. And verse 6, it says this. And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came with them. When God had a meeting, Satan came. And there was a buzz in the room. And people were going around. This is where I need your sound effects. And people were going around and saying, the devil is here. Is he going to repent? Is he going to make right with God? Is he going to ask for forgiveness? I don't think so. Because look what happens. And so there's a buzz that's going on, and people are wondering. And look at verse 7. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come from? Or from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, I came from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Here's what the devil is saying to God. He's saying, hey God, I was walking around looking for somebody. I was walking around looking for somebody. The devil is saying I was walking around looking for somebody. Walking around. Did you meet him last night? Did you meet the devil last night? He was walking around looking for somebody. He's looking for an easier prey. He's looking for somebody who is easy. Somebody who is easy to be tempted. Somebody who is easy to spread gossip. Somebody who is easy to be nasty to other people. He's looking for someone who, he says, I can get quick. I can use quickly. And sad to say, many of us, he may have met with us. And he may have actually gone the extra mile with us. And you start hearing yourself or finding yourself actually going into a space you were not. And all of a sudden, you are now acting funny, or you are now responding in a wow, wow, you know, lightning and all of those things. I was walking around looking for somebody, the devil said. And the Bible says the devil is like a roaring lion looking to whom he may devour, who is weak, who is easy to be tempted, who is easy to do all those things that he can allow himself to be used by him. And so Job, chapter 1, he says, have you considered, this is God speaking now, and God comes, and God says that, have you considered, he's talking to the devil, God is speaking to the devil. And he said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on the earth. That means none of us like him, at least that time. And it says this, blameless, upright, one who fears God, and one who shuns evil. God is bragging about Job. He's putting Job's worship on display before the entire heavenly court here. Personally, I don't want God to talk like that to the devil about me. Because I know what came as a result of that discussion. And so God is saying, hey, I'm bragging about Job. I know Job. I know Sister Juliet. I know she loves me. And so he's bragging. What happens here, God is saying, that is my man. And Satan, one of his names is called, he's an accuser, isn't it? He accuses. So he fires back. And look at verse 9. This is Satan now firing back. And he says, is that right, God? Are you sure, God? Is that right? You think so? Does Job fear you for nothing? Or does he fear you mainly because of what he can get from you? Haven't you basically paid him off so he can fear you, so he can have reverence of you? Have you not made a hedge around him and his household and all that he has on every side? In other words, you protected Job. And because you protected him so much that he can do nothing but praise you. He's shielded, and that's why he praises you. He has no stress in life. He's got nothing but pleasure and wealth and favor. And then he says in verse 11, you bless the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Now listen to what the devil says. He says, come on, God. Stretch out your hand and touch all that he has. Stretch out your hand, touch all he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Hey God, put Job in hot water and see what happens. Are you following me? This is a discussion that's going on, and I want you now hear me very careful here, because most people read that and they think Satan is accusing Job. He's not actually accusing Job. He's primarily accusing God. The devil is accusing God. And what he's saying here, his argument is this. He's saying, the worship you receive, God, it is not real worship. The worship that you received this morning is not real worship. It's a transaction. It is based on people follow you because you pay well. You do well to them, and so they worship you. They don't worship you because of who you are. They worship you for what they can get from you. This is what he's accusing to God. You give them wealth. You give them family. You protect them. You bless them. And in return, they give you praise. Why did you worship God today? And so the devil says, it is not genuine worship. It is not love. God, I dare you, remove the blessing and you'll soon see the devotion evaporates. Remove their health. Remove the circumstance. Change things around and begin to see how many people will come and still say, I will praise you every day. Your worshipers are not lovers. They are consumers, God. Your worshipers, they worship you for what they can get from you. I don't know what sort of posture you had when you were worshiping God today. I don't know whether you're one of those people that the devil is talking about, where we worship God for what we can get out of him. What I know is that when people are going through stuff, our prayer room, they fill up. But when people are not going through stuff, the prayer room is empty. Maybe the devil is right on this one. That we don't worship God for who he is. And so he's accusing God. He's saying, God, these people, you think they love you? They all don't love you. They come because of the blessing of the healing that they can get from you. And here's why that accusation cuts deep. It's just enough, there's just enough plausibility to sting here, because We have all seen people on fire for God when everything is good. They will dance. They will jump. They will praise God when everything is good. Everything is going well. And the moment things went sideways, they disappeared. We've all seen that, haven't we? You know, some of us have done it. We've been on fire for God because things are good. But actually, to go through the fire and still say, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive all glory and honor," that takes a man, a woman of God to do those things. Amen. So the devil accuses God's people before God day and night. He's always accusing you day and night. Right now he's saying, look at them. Look at what they did last night. Like literally, look at what they did last night. Look at what they were doing last night. You know, and here they are this morning and they're standing before God. And sometimes he uses some of the people here. And we start to, you. And so he's saying, he's accusing them. He says, and they're here this morning and they're in church trying to act like they love Jesus. And they don't love you, God. They love what you give them. They're just after what they can get from you. And he made that same accusation to Adam and Eve. Remember when you were in the garden, he told them God was withholding something from you. And he did the same. He made it here against Job as well. And the third time, this is three times the devil spoke in the Bible. First in the Garden of Eden, and then second here in Job. And the third one, when he was interacting with Jesus. And he was telling Jesus, he made it directly to Jesus in the wilderness. Every single time, the same goal: destroy the relationship between man and God. That's what he's after. And so he accuses God, he accuses God's people, so that the relationship may be tempered with. Turn the trial into resentment. Turn the resentment into distance. Turn the distance into departure. God, I'm going to accuse them that they may feel that you have forgotten them. They can feel that they are far from you, so that they can actually be a distance between you and them. And God's response, look at verse 12. And he says to Satan, go ahead. Everything he has is in your power. Just don't touch the body. Now you might say, God, why would you tell the devil to do that? I mean, I'm sure, you know, I asked the same question. And here is what I'll tell you. I don't have the answer to that. I don't know why God would do that. You have to ask God why God would allow or would say, go and touch everything he has, his cars, his houses, his money, everything, his health, go and touch. But don't touch his soul. As I said, I don't want to, you know, God to say that over my life, but you know, he's God, he'll do whatever he wants to do. But there's one thing with confidence I want us to say, to understand here. There are seasons that God permits because he is not because he has forgotten you. There are seasons that you and I go through, that you may actually be going through right now, that we may all be going through right now. Not because God has forgotten us, but because he trusts you. He counts on you. And this is what's going on with Job. He trusts Job and he says, hey, I'm not at all bothered. I know Job loves me for who I am. The fire you are in right now may not be the evidence of his absence. He may actually be with you. He is with you in that fire. And so it may be evidence of his confidence in what he has placed inside of you. Whatever it is you may be going through, whatever it is we may all be going through, it may be confidence in you that God is saying, you go and do whatever you want to do. I know he still or she still loves me. Hold that. So we are coming back to it. If not this week, next week. But let me tell you something about the devil. He is very smart. And he's very strategic, and he knows exactly how to maximize your pain. He knows how to maximize your pain. How many of you have had something happen, a flat tire or a bad phone call, a bill that you never expected, and you say to yourself, now? Right now? Why now? Why is it happening now? Like the timing was designed for it to happen at that specific time, and you start questioning, Lord, what's happening here? You know, That was not an accident. That was strategic. The enemy, the devil, strategically positioned things to happen at an opportune time so you can feel the pain the most. And when you feel that pain, you'll be able to turn around and say, God, where are you? You've forgotten me, God. God, I don't see you, God. And so this is what's happening here. It was not an accident. Look at verse 13 to 18. And I'm just going to paraphrase that. It's going to be on the screen, but I'm going to paraphrase. First of all, here's Job at home. Job is there. Please don't sleep on me. I will talk. Job is a... Yeah, he's a good man. But look what happens here. Job is a good man. He's at home. A righteous man. Blameless. A guy comes in running around. Job, 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 Job. The servants came. And they took the oxen. They took the donkeys. And they killed all the servants. And I'm the only one left. And while the words are still coming out of his mouth, another man runs in. Job, 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 Job. Fire fell from heaven. Burned all the sheep and the servants. I'm the only one left. And while those words are still in the air, another comes in. Job, 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 Job. The Chaldeans raided the camels and killed everybody. I am the only one left. Boom, 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 boom. And while those words are still hanging there, the fourth messenger arrives. And what he's carrying is not a financial report. Job, 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 Job. Your sons and daughters, they were eating together at your oldest son's house. A great wind came. The house collapsed and they are all dead. I'm the only one left. Four hits one afternoon. Boom, 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 boom. Everything gone. The man is left there. The devil timed it so that each messenger arrived before Job and even had the chance to process it. Have you ever been there where things happen one after the other? When you think I've got over one thing and something, boom, 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 before you have another time to process, something comes. And you just think, what's going on? And so Job is standing there, good man, righteous man, blameless man, and the blows are coming so fast, he can't even breathe between them. And in heaven, remember that picture? In heaven, the devil has got God by his robe. And he's saying, watch this, watch this. Angels, watch what's going to happen. Surely this man is going to curse God to his face. Watch what's going to happen here. He's going to curse you, God. This hypocrite, and everyone is looking at Job. Watch what he does. Before I tell you what he does, how would you respond? If the enemy comes after you, boom, 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 boom. How are you going? Many of you will not be here. Many of you walk away from God. Many of us, we say, you know, I didn't do this. This is not right. I'm a good person. Can I just say the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It also says the wages of sin is death. So if you are alive and you're still breathing and sitting in a building and hearing the word of God, you're already ahead, you know, of what you deserve. You should have died. If you're here and you're hearing me, you're already ahead. You're already blessed. You should have perished. I should have perished. That is grace. That's a grace that God gives us. This is not something you earned. The question is not, do I deserve this? The question is, when the hot water comes, what kind of tea am I? And that's the question I want you to ask yourself. When issues of life comes, what kind of tea are you? Why not tell the person next to you what sort of tea you are when you, the last issue that you dealt with? How did you respond? Were you Earl Grey? Were you PG? Or were you tips or lots of these, you know, turmeric tea? I like turmeric tea. What sort of tea were you? You hear everybody's silent, right? That just tells you the kind of tease that we may be. But before we get to Job's response, can I just go on? Are you still with me?
Yes.
Yeah, come on. Are you still with me?
Yes.
And Job is a
good man.
Good man. Tell the person next to you, Job is a good man.
Good.
And Job does better than we do. And no wonder why God himself testified of Job's integrity. He looked and he says he's a good man. He's blameless. Amen. I need to stop for 1 minute here and say something to someone in this room. Job had a wife, and she was standing in the same rebel. She was standing, she lost the same 10 children. And she was breathing the same ash. And when she finally speaks in chapter 2, here is what comes out. And I have to say, let's hear what she said first of all. In Job 2, chapter 2, verse 9. Chapter 2 of Job, verse 9. It says, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Now, I have to say this, and I'm sure many of the sermons you've heard about Job, we're hard on this lady. We're very hard. We have not been kind to this woman. But I want to be very, very careful here, because I think some of us are her. I think most of us, if not all of us, if some of us here today, we are Job's wife. We have come to the end of ourselves. And she's not a villain here. She's a mother who buried 10 children. I need to come back to this lady. She buried 10 children in one afternoon and ran completely out of road. And she had nowhere to go. She had nothing left. Not even the will to pretend. And she didn't have it. I want to speak directly to the people in this room who are not where Job is. You don't feel like Job. You don't feel like praising God. But you are here today, and you are saying, God, I don't have it. Lord, I'm at the end of myself, God. I want to speak to you. You feel down. You know, you feel like I'm done. This is it, God. When you look at the wreckage, you say, God, I don't see any way out. Where are you, God? I want to speak to you today. You say, God, I prayed. I trusted. I looked to you. I believed. I served. And I have lost. I have still lost everything, God. I have lost it, God, and I am done. That is not faith, but that is honesty. He is someone who is being real. I like this woman. She is not pretending like some of us do. She's coming and she's saying, God, I don't like what's happening. I'm finished, Lord. I'm done. She's been real here. And here's what I need you to know. An honest cry aimed in God's direction is still aimed at God's direction. You know, she's saying, God, where are you? And God can take it. When we struggle with our faith, when just read through the Psalms, you see, we have created this Christianity where we have to pretend everything is okay. And this woman is teaching us, saying, no, we can actually be real with God. I thought somebody would say, amen. Thank you. Amen. God did not abandon Job's wife. The text does not condemn her. You do. But the passage here, I've looked. It records her story. It tells us this is how she felt and this is how she dealt with it. This is how she responded. The patience of God towards people who have nothing left is one of the most consistent things in the whole scriptures. When we are at the end of our road, God's patient, he steps in and he understands us and he deals with us graciously. You are also welcome here. You are welcome here not to perform a faith you currently do not have. You're welcome here to come and you struggle with things. I'm wrestling with this. You're welcome to come and say, and cry and say, God, this is what's happening in me. And I pray that we're a church where we don't condemn, but a church where we say, God wants us to be real. And we have to be real with each other. So you're welcome to bring exactly what you actually have. Anger, exhaustion, barely anything at all. You know, I'm coming, God. And bring it to the one who is not frightened by it. One who went through it himself. He has been, you know, receiving broken people constantly throughout human history. He has never once turned away a single who came to him. We can come as we are and allow him to transform us. Amen, church. And so worship reveals what you actually believe about God. Worship reveals what you actually believe about God. Now let's look at what Job does. Verse 20, Job arose, tore his robe out of mourning, shaved his head out of mourning, and he fell to the ground. And he worshipped God. Let me pick it up from there next week. He fell down. It's a decision. It didn't mean that he didn't feel the pain. It doesn't mean that he was okay with what was going on. But he realized. It's amazing what he does. He realized and he says, there's a decision embedded in the act of standing up. And then he tore his robe with grief and that has been so undone. You cannot hold it together. And then shaved his head, stripping off every visible mark of status, dignity, and reputation, removing everything that said, I am a somebody. Abandoned, prostrate before God and said, God, I'm coming just as I am, God. I'm coming, God. So he falls to the ground and he worships. He does not file a complaint. He does not say, I don't understand what's going on and I've been trying to be good. I've been trying to do all this. He does not call a meeting. He does not demand explanation from God or anything. He falls and in his falling, he worships. We're going to look at his worship next week. We're going to pick it up from there. He worshiped God. Now I understand that there are many people here like myself, maybe. You may be going through stuff. But maybe no one understands what you're going through. And church has taught you how to carry yourself. And you have learned how to dress up and put up that all is okay. But the God we worship, he says, come. You can be real with me. I'm going to invite the worship team. They don't know about this, but I'm going to invite them. I'm going to invite you if you're going through a difficult time. I'm going to invite the prayer pastors to come. I want us to worship through whatever it is that you're going through. I want you to make a choice. I'm choosing to worship you, God, today. Is that all right? And so if you're able to come, the prayer pastors will be at the front, and then we go to communion, bringing our brokenness, bringing our pain to God. And we're saying, God, we come as we are. Amen. And so if you are in hot water, we can bring that before God and we can look to God, whatever it is. Amen. Come on, worship team. So prayer pastors, come to the front. We're going to worship together. God wants to minister to someone. Whatever you're going through, worship a bit and then bring it before God and they will stand in agreement with you. Might be sickness, might be discouragement, might be unemployment and you're feeling it. Whatever it is, God just wanted to say, I'm with you. If Job knew what was the discussion in heaven, you and I have the privilege of knowing what's going on in heaven. So let's bring our brokenness before God. Amen. Amen.